Hey, welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey. Delighted to have you with us. We're going to have a very good show today. We'll be, of course, be talking about the election with Sean Riley of the Federal Times, sequestration and the Postal Service. But first, we're going to start off with David Snell. He is director of retirement benefits for the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. He was a longtime OPM employee himself, and he's going to sort of take us through the maze of open season. Beginning November 10th, federal workers, postal employees, and retirees will start. It's the hunting season for their health insurance plan, and this is one of these decisions that it is all. This is the kind of thing you really do need some help with, and don't make the mistake of staying in your plan just because you're comfortable. David, are you with us? Okay, we're having. Okay, we're having technical difficulties here, but one of the things I know that David would tell you is that it really pays to shop around for health insurance. This could be the most important decision you make for yourself and for your family for the year 2013. Some people stay in the same plan year after year, particularly retirees, and when they do, they often make a mistake because they wind up paying too much, or maybe their doctor, their primary caregiver, has left their health plan, or maybe they could get a better deal, similar coverage, at much lower premiums. So we're going to talk to David Snell about that. David, are you there?
I am, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, morning. Thank you for joining us. We're getting a preemptive strike here on open season, and I was just telling folks what I knew you would tell them, that this is the decision they make now may be the most important financial decision they make for themselves and their families for the year 2013.
Well, I would agree with you there, especially looking at the budget deficit situation, rather low cost of living increase that especially retirees are going to get. It's going to be eaten up by increases in health benefit premiums, even though the overall average increase for the program was 3.7. There are a lot of plans out there whose increases are a lot more. We've got some plans in the program that are going to go up triple digits as far as $200 a month. So
you couple that with the low cost of living adjustment. I think it's
right.
1.3% or something like that.
Right. And so it's going to be retirees are going to see that cost of living increase in their January 1 payment, but then their February 1 payment's coming with the changes in the health benefit premiums, and then they may very well see that low cost of living increase just gone.
Well, good news, bad news on this. I've read repeatedly that one of the leading causes of bankruptcy is staggering medical bills. You know, you don't have insurance or you don't have adequate insurance. So for federal workers, for postal employees, and for retired federal workers, the good news is that all of the plans in the FEHBP are pretty good, aren't they?
Yes, you can't really choose a bad plan. They've got good benefits coverage. What you could do is make a mistake and choose the wrong plan for your particular situation and that of your family members. So it's important to look at the open season material this year, both whether you're a federal employee or a retiree. And one of the reasons is because the plans do change. They have changes in their benefits. They, of course, have changes to their premiums. And there are some plans and options that won't be available next year. So it's important to look at the open season information to respond to any mail you may receive from both your plan and your payroll office, whether it's at an agency or if you're retired from the Office of Personnel Management. Now, to help out, each of the plan brochures this year in the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program are going to have a little info box on the cover of the brochure. And that info box is going to tell you what page the changes are on. There's a summary of benefits that's now required under the Affordable Care Act that plan provides their enrollees to give them a synopsis of the benefits and the costs. That the where that's shown in the brochure is also going to be on there. And, of course, the new premium rate. So look at that box. If you get the plan brochure, look at that box, and you'll see those what page each of those are on.
Well, it seems to me one of the smart things to do is pick a couple of plans, maybe the one you're in, and then look at another one. Get the brochures from those two plans, and then take them down to your health care provider. And it probably won't be the doctor that looks at it, but his or her nurse or administrative person, somebody in the office, can say, this is the one for you. This works well for us. And that's a good strategy, isn't it?
Yes, at least have a strategy. Whatever you do, get a plan. And as you point out, Mike, it's a good idea to look at what's available. Look at those few that you may narrow it down to two or three that you're really interested in, and then go to it. You can check with your primary care physicians and see if they are a preferred provider under one of those plans. The local hospital that you would go to, if they're, a preferred medical center under those plans, and just kind of looking out. You want the most benefit at the least cost. I mean, we all do that for almost everything we do. So check those things out. And
the catastrophic limit is important, too, isn't it? That is the amount of money that you have to pay out before the health insurance kicks in.
That's correct. The catastrophic limit there is part of the whole risk thing about having health insurance, is to keep you from going into financial ruin as a result of a serious medical condition. So the limit, once you reach that with your out-of-pocket expenses, then the health plan takes care of those health out-of-pocket expenses for the rest of the calendar year. It's based on a calendar year.
Got to ask you the to be or not to be question. You know it's coming. And NARF was kind enough yesterday to put out a bulletin to all of your members saying we would be doing this show today. And I've been hearing from people from all over the country. Here's typical is Joy Inman from Cottonwood, Arizona. And she says, I see you'll be discussing FEHB and Medicare Part B tomorrow on the Your Turn show. I'd really like a good set of criteria by which to decide whether I need Part B in addition to the FEHBP, that's the federal health plan, that I have. I'm a retiree, so if I don't take B when it's offered and decide to later, I get hit with that 10% a year penalty. Any advice at all would be appreciated. So it sounds like she's done her homework.
Right, and the question here is, do you need additional health insurance outside of what you already have under the federal program, which is one of the best programs in the world? You wake up at age 65. Does it automatically mean that you need twice as much health insurance coverage? Because when you enroll in Medicare Part B for your physician medical costs, it basically duplicates the same benefits that you already are getting under your federal plan. I don't care what plan it is. So do you want to pay another? Right now, it's the basic is $199.90, $100 a month, $1,200 a year, in addition to whatever the premiums you are paying under your federal plan to get coverage that basically duplicates what you already have. Now, as a retiree, Medicare is going to be your primary coverage, and your federal plan is going to be your secondary coverage. So, if you decide that you do need And one of your favorite expressions, I think, Mike, is a belt and suspenders.
Yeah.
If you do need that additional coverage that Medicare can provide, go ahead and enroll.
Dave, let me ask you that in some detail. We need to take a short break here on Federal News Radio. We'll be right back talking with David Snell from NARF.
Leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
Big data? Let's talk about big insight. At Dun & Bradstreet, they know critical decisions rely on critical insight. To protect our nation and global supply chain, reduce fraud, and to know your business partners and their relationships. In today's complex world, can you afford to be wrong? With insight on 218 million businesses around the world, Dun & Bradstreet has been advancing responsible government through informed decision-making for 85 years. Learn more about Dun & Bradstreet at dnb.com/gov.
Are you shopping for insurance in the same place you go to watch cat videos? Don't spend hours trolling the internet looking for cheap dental or vision plans. Call the Government Employees Benefit Association. With GEBA, you'll work with knowledgeable representatives who understand the intricacies of your government benefits and lifestyle. Based on your needs, they can offer government employees, like you, basic and enhanced policies at competitive rates. They offer comprehensive dental plans that give members the freedom to choose a dentist they know and also the ability to roll over up to $1,000 in unused benefits. With GEBA's Vision Plan, members get the advantage of competitive rates with an extensive network of ophthalmologists, optometrists, opticians, and retailers, plus an annual pair of glasses or contact lenses. Open enrollment for dental and vision plans runs from November 12th to December 17th. For more information, visit GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126 to speak with a representative today and stop wasting time searching online.
The Air Traffic Management Report, provided by Raytheon.
As air travel increases, the world becomes smaller. The modernization of airspace systems is helping to meet this growing demand with greater capacity, safety, and efficiency. Raytheon's world-class technology, training, and industry leadership in U.S. and international airspace management are helping to ensure these important goals are met. Transformation of air travel, it's happening today.
Do you hear that? That's something we make safer and more efficient every day. Raytheon helps manage two-thirds of the world's airspace, modernizing, integrating, and supporting today's air traffic systems. For decades, we've continued to innovate as the nation's airways have continued to grow. After all, when your mission is transforming air travel, the sky's the limit. Raytheon, customer success is our mission.
How is the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs identifying new technologies and promoting a culture of innovation? What is VA's technology and innovation strategy? How is VA leveraging open source technology? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Dr. Peter L. Levin, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
The March of Dimes and AFSEA Nova will honor women in the technology industry who are making a difference in their communities at the 12th Annual Heroines in Technology Gala, November 9th. From CEOs to entrepreneurs, these women exemplify leadership and volunteerism in their community. Proceeds from this Black Tie Awards program will benefit the March of Dimes and its fight to prevent birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality. To learn more, visit marchofdimes.com/metrodc.
Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm Mike Causey. I'm talking with David Snell. He's Director of Retirement Benefits for the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. And we were into the to be or not to be question when we had to take a break. And the question is, do federal retirees need Medicare Part B? As David pointed out, it's almost $100 a month, $1,200 a year. And I am a belt and suspenders man, but not everybody needs it, correct, Dave?
No, not everybody needs it. First of all, a lot of people, unfortunately, are under the impression that it's something that they have to enroll in. Well, Medicare B is strictly voluntary. It's your choice whether you want to enroll in it or not.
And if you're still working, it's not even an issue, is it?
Well, it shouldn't be.
Okay.
And you're protected from the late enrollment penalty if you're still working and covered under your employer's plan. So Part A is free. You paid for that as an employee while you were working. And when you become eligible at age 65, that's free to you. And I would, you know, what's not to like about free? So everybody should get that. But Part B for the medical is something that you need to think about, but don't feel like you have to have it. Now, yes, there is a penalty if at age 65 you're eligible to enroll and you don't enroll in Part B, and then later on in life, maybe a year or two down the road, you decide you need it, there is going to be that 10% surcharge. But don't forget, in the meantime, you've already saved $1,200 at the least, $1,200 a year, by not paying that premium. So the 10% charge is probably going to take a while before
you hit that break even.
Exactly, your break even point.
Well, and again, so many people work past 65. If you continue to work, as you're saying, you really don't need Part B. And also, once you do retire and become eligible for it, you're not subject to the penalty. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
If you enroll within the certain period of time after you retire. Now, the other thing to think about is, if you decide you do need to enroll in Part B, you want that extra coverage, you don't want to drop your federal plan. One thing, the federal plan provides you with excellent prescription drug coverage. I don't care what plan it is, they're all very good. The other thing is, as a retiree, once you drop your federal enrollment, you cannot get it back again unless you go back to work for the government. So instead of dropping your current coverage, or instead of paying the same high premiums that you've been paying along now with Medicare, look for a plan that costs less, because with Medicare being your primary and your FEHB being your secondary, the FEHB plan is going to act as a supplement to your Medicare, so you don't want to pay a lot for it. Now, you might be asking, well, I turned 65 in the middle of the year. I have to wait till open season to look for a cheaper plan if I decide to go with Medicare, and the answer is no. One of the qualifying life events under the federal law is that when you become eligible for Medicare, you may change from one plan to another outside of the open season. You can only do it once, since you only become eligible for Medicare once, but that's an event that allows you outside of the open season to change to a less costly plan if you decide to enroll in Medicare Part B.
Well, you know, that's a good point, too, that qualifying life event, and I think many people are not aware of it, but if you get married, if you get divorced, or if you have a child, as I understand it, or adopt a child,
sure,
or you're widowed, you can have your own open season, correct?
That's pretty much it. Or if a family member loses coverage under another plan, mm-hmm, and you want to go to from a self to a family, you can do that. There are four basic events, and of course the Medicare one is the one that's least known, but it's there and it's available and it's very helpful in situations like this.
That could save people a lot of money and also really boost their protection, too. Hey, I was hoping somebody would ask this, and Jolie Lee, our producer, just brought this in. It's from Steve in Germantown. He's with the Department of Energy, and he says, would you have David Snell compare GEHA and SAMBA, S-A-M-B-A, and Blue Cross Blue Shield? They seem similar, but different in price. And GEHA is government Employees Hospital Association, as I currently.
I think it's Health Association.
Health Association, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Samba is, it's not the special. Dance, it's Special Agents Mutual Benefit Association.
Association, right.
And at one point it was limited, a very good plan, but it was limited to federal agents, DEA and like that. But now I believe it's open to everybody, correct?
Yes, it is. And
Its premiums, by the way, are going down next year, Samba.
Yeah, they're
comparable to Blue Cross. They're almost identical in premium to the Blue Cross basic plan.
Right. Well, I think I don't, you know, have the all the details about both all of those plans. I can tell you that if the gentleman would go online and get a federal benefits guide, if he's an employee, get the RI-70-1 federal benefits for federal civilian employees. It's a guide. It gives you so much information. And one of the things about that information, one thing they give is a quality, the results of a quality survey for all of the plans in the FEHB. You can look at that quality survey. They've got several categories. They have an overall, and then they have several categories. And that will give you, in a nutshell, how each of those plans stacked up as far as quality goes, according to those members that are using the plan. And that would be my best suggestion for the gentleman.
Okay. I would tell Steve, we'll put this question to Walton Francis, too. He's going to be on next week. He's the author of Washington Consumer Checkbook. Short break here, and be right back talking with David Snow.
Geico's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from Geico. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote. And be sure to request your special federal savings.
Honey, it's time to have that discussion with your daughter.
What discussion?
Really? Hey, guys. Honey, what's up with you two? Dad, have you seen all the new cars with HD radio technology? It's amazing.
HD radio technology?
Go to HDradio.com. There's like extra channels, no subscription, Fords, Chevrolets, Toyotas, Mercedes, and Dad, BMW. Gotta run. Bye.
See, that wasn't so hard.
HD radio, now available from 28 different automobile brands and more than 150 vehicles. Go to HDradio.com for more.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing seatbelts, would you? So why leave them unprotected when you're gone? Learn about the latest techniques for maximizing your wealth and protecting your assets for your heirs. Join me, Wayne Zell, for Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm an estate planning attorney with Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Each week, we talk about how you can realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. That's Blueprint for Wealth, Saturdays at 10 a.m., right here on 1500 AM.
We have a capsized boat, 2 people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue Swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
APWU Health Plan, your healthcare companion, features comprehensive benefits and Cigna's nationwide network of more than 1 million provider locations. It makes finding the right network provider so simple. Also, APWU Health Plan's Diabetes Management Program saves members more than $150 a month. Learn more at APWUHP.com or call 800-PIC-APWU, your healthcare companion.
Are you a loyal credit card user and your only reward is a high interest rate? Anyone can join State Department Federal Credit Union and take advantage of their Visa Platinum credit card. Just a 6.99% APR, plus earn one reward point for every dollar you spend. And there is no foreign transaction or balance transfer fees. Visit sdfcu.org. Annual percentage rate is based on evaluation of applicant's credit. SDFCU is federally insured by the NCUA.
Much of the world's energy usage goes toward heating or cooling our buildings. But that could change if engineers are successful at making the perfect insulator. The heat that warms your home travels like sound as waves.
They tend to penetrate everything. They propagate around. They hit things. They exchange their energy with the walls.
And then get released outside, says Ned Thomas, engineering dean at Rice University. So he's designing material with microscopic openings that precisely match heat wavelengths and cause them to get reflected backwards. Then
you might be able to keep the home pretty warm just with your own internal energy.
That's right, body heat.
Now it's a matter of figuring out the best set of materials and the best manufacturing processes to do these things.
In a sturdy, cost-effective way. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with David Snell. He's Director of Retirement Benefits at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. And we were trying to answer a question from Steve in Germantown about GEHA, Samba, and Blue Cross Blue Shield. And David gave us some places to go to, and we will address that in subsequent shows. But just a little war story, if I could. I have a friend who worked for the DEA. He was in Chicago a couple of years ago, and he thought he was having a heart attack. I believe it was at the airport. And as they were getting him ready to be carted off, he pulled out his Samba card, a Special Agents Mutual Benefit Association, and he said the police stood at attention, and the emergency medical team immediately knew what it was, and he felt like he got royal treatment for what that's worth.
Well, that sounds like it's worth a lot. And just offhand, the Samba high option rated very high on the overall plan satisfaction by the members on their survey. So it's a good one.
That's good. That's good. And mentioning Blue Cross, too, most federal retirees, I believe, are concentrated in Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yes, they are. They've been there, they've stayed there, and it's by far the largest single enrollment in the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program.
Well, they say that, I think I've seen the numbers, that only about 6% of the eligible people, active and retired, change plans during an open season, despite all of the information the government puts out, the advertising the insurance companies do, and shows like this, that most people, inertia is the overpowering force. But a lot of people should be shopping and changing, shouldn't they?
Oh, I think they should, for their own financial welfare, and just to find out, what's out there. There are things this year. A lot of plans are improving their benefits for contraceptive devices and tests and drugs and things like that. And if that's important to your family, then take a look at them. Like you say, inertia. I mean, people like the devil they know rather than the one they don't. And they're kind of afraid to look and try other things. But keep in mind that, open season comes around once a year. If you find a plan that might fit you better and meets your needs financially and as far as the particular benefits, maybe they have good nursing care facility benefits or something like that, try it. And if it's if it's not to your liking by the end of the year, you can always go back to your old plan or try another one.
Dave, what about these so-called consumer-driven plans and the health saving account plans? I hear about them, and it sticks with me for about 4 minutes, and then I got goldfish.
Well, the it starts with the one of the other benefits that are being that you can you must make a change to if you're a federal employee is your flexible spending account that is offered to federal employees, and you have to renew that every year. You must re-enroll, and those accounts are there to help with dependent care, health care, and there's a limited one for dental vision. Basically, it's a savings account, and then, you know, you could do your own savings account, but this one has the benefit of being the premiums you put or the money you put into it is pre-tax, so that your overall tax bite is less. Now, the consumer-driven, the high deductible plans also come with a health savings account or health account that helps you pay for your benefits, and while it's a good deal for federal employees because of the lower premiums, and they're a healthier bunch as a whole than retirees, they're not going to use it probably as much. So those are worth looking into. I've noticed this year that some of those premiums, though, have gone up, some considerably. So take a look at those if you're in one or if you're interested in one.
So they're experience rated, so that's why the premiums are going up, huh?
It's not a great deal for retirees because of the amount of money you have to pay out of pocket before your benefits kick in. Retirees tend to need their health plans more. Plus, you don't get you can have a health savings arrangement with a high deductible as a retiree, but you can't have the health savings account.
Let me ask you something here. I think a lot of people are not aware of this. Flexible spending accounts, it's pre-tax money. It allows you to pay for services and drugs and things like that are not covered by your health insurance. It's a real good deal if you monitor it and know what your likely expenses are going to be in 2013. If you have some recurring experiences, that way you can take that money and pay it, and you're not only getting a tax break, but you're getting the drugs or services at a break too because of the tax advantage. But this year, the FSA maximum is $5,000. Next year, because of the Affordable Care Act, it's going to be cut in half to $2,500.
There are three accounts again: one's for health care, one's for dependent care, one's limited expense for dental vision if you're enrolled in one of those high deductibles. And for the health care, it's being cut in half for 2013. The maximum you can contribute is $2,500 instead of the $5,000 it was this year. But the dependent care still stays at $5,000. So.
Correct. Now, what about is the flexible spending account a good deal for retirees?
Well, retirees aren't eligible for it.
Oh, okay.
So that
moot point.
Yeah, right. So, again, anybody can save. You want to save, put money aside for this or that. But the great thing about the flexible spending accounts is the tax break you get.
Right, and it's just one of those use it or lose it deals. So if you you don't use the money, that reverts to the company.
Right, and then you have to re-enroll every year. So those employees out there that are enrolled in one, don't forget, they're in the open season, you've got to re-enroll in that flexible spending account.
David, if you had 1 minute to talk, which in fact you do, could you kind of sum up what people, particularly retirees, should be doing prepping for the open season that begins on Monday?
Well, yes. The first thing is to hopefully, if they've got internet connections, to get on the OPM website, OPM/insurer website. Look at the general information that OPM, the general information and guidance that OPM gives is very good. look at that and read it. Again, as we were saying at the beginning of the program, Mike, you get kind of a plan. Write down what you need for next year. What's important to you? Is it cost? Is it benefit? Is it a specific benefit? And then look at some of the plans. There's a OPM offers a comparison chart online that you can plug in several plans and then get a synopsis of the benefits in columns right next to each other, so you can compare those things. Pick a few and get the brochure and look at it. You've got, I think OPM's websites and everything are open now for the 2013, so you can go on those websites, get that information, get it sent to you, look at it, or look at it online. All the new brochures for 2013 are online at the OPM website. Look at that information and maybe discuss it with your spouse and then decide. Make a decision. Don't just sit there and have the decision made because of inertia, as you put it. Make a decision. Yeah, I'll stick with mine. I think it's best. Or I think I'll go with this one. And again,
if you're a NARF member too, a lot of the NARF chapters, particularly in the Washington area, but around the country, I know in Florida as well, are very active in helping people within health insurance fairs and briefings and seminars. So if you are a NARF member, check out with that. And I know the NARF chapter up in Tinleytown is going to be having Walton Francis, I believe, next Wednesday evening. So there's lots.
Well, Walt's a great expert.
Lots of, yeah. Yeah, right. He does the consumer checkbook guide.
Right.
And also, too, if you have a friend or a loved one or a relative who's older, maybe is not computer savvy or just doesn't have one, you might volunteer to help them out with this, because the OPM website is excellent. I'm looking at the thing I printed out about 10 minutes ago, and it just shows the premiums, period, for the next year for every plan available in it. And that's one way to start. Pick a couple that are affordable to you. Then look at the brochures, as David Snell said, and then compare it online. And I think it's a good idea to take it into your doctor, your primary caregiver, and have them check it out and see if it's compatible with them and if they're not. David, thank you so much, and I'll see you soon, I hope.
The pleasure's been mine. Thank you.
We'll take a short break here on Federal News Radio. Be right back.
Of the month, United States Postal Service, sponsored by Sprint.
Patrick Donahue is the Postmaster General of the United States.
Picking a date when one would run out of money is not the idea. That's not what any business would ever want to talk about. It's getting the ship righted, getting the legislation done the way we need it so we can get back on firm financial footing, and so that we eliminate this whole crisis of confidence that's going on with the Postal Service.
Agency of the Month, Wednesdays at 11 on Federal News Radio.
United States Postal Service employees get 25% off select Sprint monthly services, and for a limited time, also receive a $100 service credit when they switch a line to Sprint. Visit Sprint.com/USPS or go to a Sprint retail store and mention you're an employee, retiree, or contractor of the United States Postal Service. Coverage not available everywhere. Ends 12/31/12. Subject to 2-year agreement, activation and early termination fees and other restrictions. Service credit will be credited within 3 invoices. Restrictions apply.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Enzymatic Therapy and Nordic Naturals.
Whether you're at work all day, running errands, or on vacation, why worry about the safety of your home and family? Trust Ackerman Security Systems. Why Ackerman? Because security is what they do, and they do it better than anyone else, with an award-winning monitoring center. You can also trust Ackerman to save you money. It's just $18.95 a month with no cost to switch. Call today and get up to 3 months free of Ackerman's basic monitoring. 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
Are you a federal or U.S. Postal Service employee or annuitant, or an active or retired member of the uniformed services? If so, you're eligible to apply for coverage under the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. The program offers a smart way to help protect savings and assets and remain independent should you need long-term care services someday. Make long-term care insurance part of your retirement plan. Find out how at ltcfeds.com. That's ltcfeds.com.
There's a sea change going on now, and you're seeing the slow death of the desktop. Microsoft, they defined their future in terms of mobile. You know, Windows 8 came out. It supports all the touch screen. They've got the Windows Surface portable device. Google has a portable device. Of course, everybody's trying to play catch up with Apple. And so now we are moving into an accelerated phase of the post-PC.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
Human capital management for the federal government is the most anticipated training event this year, featuring more than 30 participating federal human chief capital officers and chief learning officers. Don't miss this year's event, to be held on November 28th through the 30th, 2012, at the Sheraton Pentagon City Hotel in Arlington, Virginia. Check out the website, www.hcmfederal.com, for more information and to register now. Mention code HCMF for a $200 discount.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm Mike Causey, and glad to have you with us. And a reminder, our shows are archived on our homepage, so you can listen to them anytime. And some of these are worth listening to because some of the information is complex, but it could save you a lot of money or save you a lot of out-of-pocket money. We're going to be talking with Sean Riley. He's a senior writer with the Federal Times. And, Sean, are you with us?
Yeah, how are you, Mike?
Hey, great. Thank you. Listen, wouldn't it take – this is the day after the election, so guys like you and me get to put on our pundit robes and our serious political analyst hats and talk about things probably beyond our ken. What did you think of the election? What impact is this going to have, if any, on the federal workforce, the federal family?
It remains to be seen, of course, but I think the immediate effect that I feel fairly confident in predicting, pundit camp fully on in place,
yes,
is that you're going to see that with President Obama being reelected to a second term, you will probably see federal pay and benefits taken off the table as a political issue. As you recall, Governor Romney, Republican nominee, had said that he wanted, and this is all on his campaign website, that he wanted to cut the federal workforce through attrition by 10%. He also said that federal pay and benefits, particularly on the benefit side, were up to 40% higher than what you find in the private sector and needed to be, quote, realigned, unquote, you know, saving potentially $47 billion, although it was unclear under what period of time he wanted to do that. You know, President Obama didn't, by contrast, didn't really say anything that I'm aware of about, you know, about federal compensation. And, you know, so I don't think you're going to see him making it an issue specifically. I think the concern from feds, which doesn't change regardless of who is elected, is that the We're still running $1 trillion annual budget deficits. There's a lot of pressure to contain costs, and federal employee compensation will be one area that could potentially be on the table.
Yeah, all of the federal unions, either they or their leadership, endorsed President Obama for reelection, as they did when he ran against Senator McCain. They're delighted. They're sort of tripping over themselves. Their press releases this morning with adjectives to show how euphoric they are.
Indeed.
But one of the tests coming up is going to be the pay raise. The president was the one who proposed the two-year pay freeze,
mm-hmm.
and then as part of the continuing resolution, as you know, it was extended through at least March 31st of next year, and now the unions are saying to the president nicely that we would like to have that pay raise and we would like to have it retroactive to January 1. What do you think of the chances of that?
I think it's certainly possible, but we've got this great chain of being here between the potential impact of sequestration coming at this point scheduled to hit on January 2nd. You've got this question about what to do about extending the Bush-era tax cuts, which expire at the end of the year. You've still got, as you just alluded to, Congress still has to pass a full-year budget for all federal agencies. So I think there's a reasonable chance, because we're not talking about a huge amount of money over in the scheme of things, 0.5%. I think that was the smallest percentage pay raise in the history of the general schedule. I think that there's definitely a prospect of it. The question is, Obama has said that the pay raise shouldn't take effect until there's a full-year budget, and that's obviously contingent on Congress passing that full-year budget.
Yeah, the fact that the election is so close doesn't give anybody a particular mandate. One thing, from a psychological standpoint, a half a percentage point pay raise is not very much, particularly when health insurance premiums and everything else going up, including maybe taxes. But if they could get it retroactive, if they could win it, and it was made retroactive for 3 or 4 or 5 months, that would be a nice chunk of change that federal workers could look at and appreciate, and the unions could say, look, we delivered.
Precisely. And, I think there's a feeling among at least some federal employees that, they've been doing a lot of talk of sacrifice, but when it comes to actual sacrifice, it's, basically the federal workforce that's been taking the hits, not anybody else. And I think they'd like to see, in the unions in particular, would like to see some indication that these pay freezes are not going to be extended indefinitely.
Well, Sean, moving to the Postal Service here, the beleaguered U.S. Postal Service, Julia Ziegler, one of our managing editors here, interviewed the Postmaster General, and a lot of talk about going to a 5-day delivery week, cutting the force. There's a hassle now about plans to contract out mechanics jobs in the Postal Service and contract them out to the private sector. The buyouts continue to flow, or the offers come. How are things in the Postal Service?
They're fairly rough. As we talked about, they hit their borrowing limit, a $15 billion borrowing limit with the Treasury in late September, which gives them a little less wiggle room financially. They're still continuing to try and shed jobs through attrition, but the Postmaster General said in the interview with Julia, they still need this, this sort of comprehensive legislative fix, which so far, Congress has not acted on. The lame duck session starts next week, and this will really represent the last chance, presumably, for any kind of comprehensive postal reform this year in this Congress. If it doesn't get done by December, then they're going to essentially have to start over next year with a new Congress, new members in key positions, and still some of the same institutional impediments that they face so far.
I haven't seen it in a while in their laundry list of things they want, but the Postal Service at one time seemed to be very serious about leaving the federal employee health benefits program and setting up their own health plan.
Yeah, that's still an issue, and I actually spoke to the Postmaster General a few months ago, and he said it's come up in negotiations with the unions, over new contracts. But the Postal Service hasn't really spelled out exactly where it wants to go on that. And it's hard to tell in the scheme of things, and they have a fairly lengthy wish list with Congress, how determined they are to pursue that. When it comes to health care, their number one priority, I think, is to eliminate this requirement that they pre-fund retiree health care benefits. This is an annual requirement that costs them about $5.5 billion in each installment. And, they missed the last two, so now they collectively owe about $11.1 billion to this fund. and it's dragging down their financial results, making them look even worse shape than they actually are. And that's certainly where they that's certainly something they want to have removed. In terms of creating their own health plan, I think politically they probably realize that it's a much harder sell. OPM, the OPM director John Barry, when he testified before Congress, was not enthusiastic about it. There's been no real sign of support that I can see from the administration. The postal unions are quite skeptical and, you know, I think understandably wary that their members would end up with a worse deal than they currently get under the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program.
Yeah, it's hard to see any advantage to the employees in it because if the Postal Service wants to cut costs, that would either mean benefits or have employees pay a larger share of their premium or combination thereof. But it's hard to see how it could do any better than they are within the FEHBP.
Well, that's the case. They, you know, I think the burden, on, at least from the employee perspective, the burden is on proof is on postal management to show that they, you know, that it would be a better deal. And they, so far, at least publicly, haven't really shown exactly how they would do that. And, of course, you know, setting up your own health plan is a fairly large undertaking, particularly when you're talking about a career workforce of over 500,000 people.
Right, and they have different the Postal Service is I guess the second, third largest federal agency, but it's an industrial operation as opposed to many federal offices, and the injury and accident rate is considerably higher in the Postal Service than it is in say, you know, the American Battle Monuments Commission or something.
Absolutely, and I think the Postal Service accounts for, if I'm not mistaken, around half, if not more, of the annual federal worker compensation bill. You know, the workforce tends to be older. As you noted, it is industrial operation. You have a lot of repetitive motion jobs. You've got a lot of, you know, a lot of positions where you're moving heavy stuff around. You know, as a result, your injury rate is higher and I presume would be a little bit more expensive to insure.
And driving a left-hand drive car in a right-hand drive society is not the safest thing either.
I wouldn't want to try it myself.
Yeah. Well, listen, you brought it up. You mentioned the S word a while ago, sequestration. And, of course, nobody knows what's going to happen. And a lot of people aren't even sure what would happen if it happened. But is the talk that starting January 2nd, they would begin to make across-the-board cuts, with a few exceptions, of 8% on everything?
8%, 8.2%, I think, for domestic most of the domestic discretionary programs, and then 9.4% for defense accounts, excepting military personnel. You know, that January 2nd, that's what the law requires, so presumably that will go forward. You know, the question is, of course, whether Congress will do anything, or whether Congress and the White House will reach an agreement to avert this before then. And there was an interesting report that came out a couple days ago from a research and advocacy group fairly sympathetic to the Obama administration, I think, called OMB Watch, which noted that there would be a number of financial maneuvers that agencies and the Office of Management Budget could take, at least initially, that would potentially prevent the full effect of sequestration being felt, at least in the first few weeks. You know, OMB is in charge of, quote-unquote, allocating funds to agencies. Out of the budget, and they could, OMB, according to this report, could speed up that process, essentially giving them a little bit more money than they normally receive. You know, agencies usually have some leftover funds that haven't been committed to any particular purpose from the prior year. They could tap those. They could move money around different accounts. You know, overall, there's a fair amount of slack within the federal financial management system at any one point, and so this would perhaps give agencies at least a little breathing room to deal with sequestration, at least in the first few weeks. Now, the report makes clear that in regard to, you know, being able to head off immediate impacts, this is all conditioned on some kind of agreement being reached, say, by the end of January, within a few weeks in any case, and then being made retroactive to January 2nd. So essentially agencies would be made whole for any funds that would have been cut.
Well, it was interesting. President Obama, during, I guess, the third debate, when the question of sequestration came up, he said it's not going to happen.
Well, I think he might have spoken a little, maybe gotten a little
prematurely.
beyond what's actually known.
All right. Jolie Lee is giving us the signal. She's cruel but fair. Thank you, Sean Riley, for being with us. We'll see you next Wednesday here. Remember, we're archived, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Have a good week.
You too.